A Podshape production.
He was a goofy dad, you know. He did all these little funny jokes, and as a little kid, I thought they were hilarious.
Linda Willimer and her husband Darren dropped her father, John Jensen, home on Sunday after a family lunch. They say he was in good spirits, but the 68-year-old has disappeared without a trace.
At no time has he indicated suicidal tendencies. That fall has never sat well with me, I'll be honest.
Well, the discovery of John Jensen's car outside the Lancelin Beach Hotel is a big breakthrough in the police search for the missing Ocean Reef grandfather.
Look, he did have a bit of depression, and I put the light on and then I just saw blood. All these blood footprints, pretty much what it was very in your face then, and there was quite a lot of blood, and I was like, what the hell has happened here? And I yelled out, and I think he was murdered. No, I 100%, hand on my heart, believe he was murdered, because this is my dad. This is my story. This is what happened.
This is not just the story of a missing man. It's the story of how ambiguous loss can not only hurt a family, it can tear them apart. Belle Willmer and her husband Darren believe her dad was killed for money. Police believe that he's missing, presumed dead. You can head back to previous episodes to make your own decisions. In the last 4 years, John's bank accounts have not been touched. He didn't have a mobile phone, his healthcare card, or any other documents that linked to him have not been accessed. As with most missing persons cases, the public plays an integral part in helping police and the family get closure. It's the reason we put these podcasts together. We think that maybe we could reach a new audience, an audience that may have not heard the story of a missing grandfather from Perth. I asked the investigating officer, Joe Burr, from Homicide in WA, who's assigned to the Missing Persons Unit, if there'd been any sightings of John since his disappearance.
The media were very good at the time. The media really engaged with us as a police force, and they were able to get the message out, assist us with getting that message out to members of the public. We had some sightings come forward to us, people that suspected that they may have seen Mr. Jensen in and around Lancelin at the time. But unfortunately, despite our attempts, we weren't able to corroborate those sightings. There was one or two that I felt were unlikely. There was one that was possible but couldn't be proved. And regardless of that, unfortunately, other than placing him in Lancelin at the time, they didn't offer anything that could lead to the resolution of the case or locating Mr. Jensen. So the members of the public were great coming forward, but unfortunately I couldn't corroborate, or the officers that were dealing at the time could not corroborate any of that for CCTV or any further sightings.
Talk me through the man that was spotted. I believe it was by someone that was riding a bike, is that correct?
Yeah, I think on the 25th of June, about 8 a.m, a member of the public was riding a bike in Lancelin. He saw a male that wasn't dissimilar in appearance to Mr. Jensen. He said that the man was walking carefully, not boldly, as if he was worried about traffic. The member of the public did say hello to this gentleman. He could never be identified by us, and there is every possibility that that was Mr. Jensen, but there's also every possibility that it wasn't. It's something that we couldn't confirm. If this gentleman did fight Mr. Jensen, then we would know that Mr. Jensen was on his own at the time, but we can't take that as evidence and use that because we just can't confirm it. So it's frustrating from an investigator's point of view, because I'd like to be able to confirm that or be able to disregard it. And despite all the investigation that's taken place, I can't be sure that Mr. Jensen was the person that gentleman saw on the day.
Bell also confirmed a few sightings that led to nothing.
I mean, there was a bit of a flurry I found around Facebook, because obviously with social media nowadays, you know, you read a lot of comments, and apparently the gardener up there looks familiar, looks similar to my father. Quite a few people had said that. So I'm not sure, but there was comments from one particular witness saying that there was a man dressed in black standing next to my dad's vehicle texting, you know, and then he was seen texting again, you know, in the beer garden. Whether this person was possibly the one that dropped the vehicle off, I don't know. But no, there was no sightings of my father.
When you have ambiguous loss and not knowing the answer, you sometimes, and I think we all do this, you look for answers. And one of the places that you looked for answers was with a psychic medium.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you know, it's something, I guess, you know, you get desperate. I'm not the only one. There's plenty of cold cases where people have reached out in those situations. And, you know, it was something that, you know, I've been interested in anyway. So back in, you know, my sister even once had a psychic party years ago at her house, and my mum was there, and you know what I mean? So we were interested in that sort of stuff. And when mum died, we actually went to see John Edwards together, you know. Again, it was just more interesting or whatever. And so basically almost a year to the day, popped up on my Facebook feed this particular medium, which I can't disclose his name, but, you know, was doing a seminar at Joondalup Reception Centre. So I thought, bugger it, you know, it was actually cheap. Normally these things are expensive. So I said to my girlfriend, why don't you come along? You know, why don't we just go? And we did. Yeah, weirdly enough, my sister and her husband were also at that same seminar. But we were obviously estranged by that point, so we did not go together as such.
And did the psychic say anything?
He did. Look, I didn't sort of get a reading. It was sort of one of those, you know, fairly intimate little settings where, you know, he'll go around reading people, and I kept putting my hand up right at the very end. And, you know, because I was keen to try and get a reading. I was just interested. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I was a bit dubious, I guess. You know, I'd never had a connection or anything, you know. But I thought, why not? I really, you know, I put my hand up right at the end, and then he picked me, and obviously, you know, sort of started sort of connecting or whatever. And then you could see him instantly, yeah, look quite ill, and just went, what's happened? What? And then he goes, was your dad murdered? And I said, well, it's still under investigation. You know, we haven't found his body. And he goes, oh, I can't talk to you about this in front of everyone else. You know, I'll talk to you after the seminar due to the graphic sort of information that was coming through. And so, yeah, he was kind enough, and he said, look, I want to talk to both of you, as in my sister and myself, you know, after the fact. So we finished up the show, and, yeah, he had a private reading, and, yeah, the information that was told to us that night, it's not the sort of fluffy, airy, fairy, lovey-dovey information that, you know, traditionally psychics or, you know, mediums, sorry, you know, would tell you, you know. So this guy's been pretty blatantly honest. You could tell it affected him in terms of, you know, the information he was trying to pass on, but... yeah, he made it very clear that, you know, Dad was met with foul play, and, you know, openly telling it to both of us and sort of giving us details, graphic details that you don't want to hear, obviously, as a daughter, and obviously he didn't want to tell us. But yeah, it just sort of cemented my... It cemented my theories, I guess, my thoughts. I mean, I knew he'd passed, obviously, and I knew he hadn't committed suicide, and he was very clear with that message. He goes, I've been doing this for so many years, I know when they've committed suicide, you know. And I know it's a weird topic. It's something that's very out of the ordinary. It's very, you know, some people, you know, might sort of...
I'm naturally sceptic. And, the things he said, you...
You don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
You don't take it lightly.
I don't know who would say those things.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but, yeah, it's... But he also said many things... as far as like money and all that, which very much rang true. So for Belle, was very much a confirmation.
It was just a confirmation, yeah.
This is not the first time that I've talked to someone who suffers from ambiguous loss and that has contacted a psychic. You don't have to be a believer to understand that when someone you love disappears without a trace, you'll do anything to find an answer, even if that goes against what you've believed for most of your life. Bella's passed over a copy of the recording that her and her sister made with a psychic medium in Perth. on the 26th of June, 2018. To recap, both Belle and her sister, who at the time were estranged, happened to go to the same psychic medium at a reception hall in Perth after seeing an ad on Facebook. They sat away from each other and never interacted. During the evening, Belle raised her hand, and in Belle's words, the psychic knew that something had happened, and he said that post-show they should meet in private. Belle's sister also attended this meeting backstage, along with Belle's best friend, Anita. The following recording is the actual recording of that meeting, which is being played with the psychic medium's permission. His website says he's a well-respected psychic medium in Australia, and he's passionate about helping others. He starts by talking about how Jawn is coming to him.
Because that's the way that he comes through, okay. The way that he would show me as well, and I need to be like honest as well, it's like he was what's an axe? He keeps showing me an axe. Was he hit with an axe? Was he murdered with an axe?
There was blood at the house. We don't know what happened. Okay. It's being analysed.
Yeah, okay, because he keeps showing me an axe, but this is the way that, I don't know if there was something to do, but he's also showing me people taking him, or people have got him, or there was males that have got him. Do you understand
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, males, what?
People getting him, or taking him, or abducting him. It's like there's a group of males that have got him.
He's gone though, he's deceased.
Yeah, no, but the way that he passed, or the way, it's like somebody has taken him or got him. That's what I mean, when he was alive. Okay? Because this is like foul play.
Yep. I knew it.
Yeah. And that's what Dad showed me. And it's like people coming in and
yep.
and it's
Are
not
you kidding me?
No. This is what Dad showed me. And that's why I didn't want to talk about it. But it's like, and he's gone. He's like they've gotten rid of him. What's with the boot? What's in the boot? Did they find anything in the boot?
Just his golf cart buggy thing.
Okay. Because he keeps talking about in his boot. I don't know if there was blood or he was in the boot, but they. Because I feel like the way that he come through is like he's taken or he's been bashed, and that's what I keep seeing him. Hasn't he been found, or what's
no, not everything. There's blood in the house.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, he's been dragged out. It's like somebody has taken him. Like three guys have come in and taken him, and they have. And that's what he keeps seeing me. And he keeps seeing me, I don't know if this is...
Do they know him? Does he know them?
There's a connection there, yes. With, okay. And there's also, what he keeps showing me is, with this axe, this is, how honest can I be?
Please be honest.
Because they're whacking him over the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're whacking him in the back, like they're whacking him over the head. And but it's like he's gone and he's in a ditch, or he's buried in bushland. Because he's showing me bushland, or like he's buried in, like, you're not going to find him. Like he's saying,
no.
But he's, what he's showing me is, like, what's with the kitchen? Did you find?
It was, he was bathing his feet out near the kitchen area.
Okay, because this is where they've come in, this is where they've worked. And it's three guys, and this is what, and that's why I said I can't talk about it in front of the group, because yeah. It's like, he was taken, he was. Yeah. But these guys that did it, they were cleaning up. It was like, they made sure where the mess was and where the blood, not to have it everywhere.
Because I couldn't figure out how blood was where there, and it wasn't on the carpet, not in his car.
But there was a struggle with him, but there was three guys, but they keep whacking him over the back of their head, like they keep knocking him out. So that's what your dad keeps showing.
When you say it was foul play, does he give you any hints of to why or?
Foul play, the way that he's talking about is like, it's not just somebody's just disappeared. There's foul play. There's something. Yeah, there's something.
But was it robbery or was it?
It's like your dad or your father knew of them, or new friends that knew of them, and I don't know if there was money or there was owing money or something to do with money, and what's, I don't know if there was bank account touch or there was some money gone, but it had to do with that, okay? And what's April? I keep seeing April with Dad.
April, we had a big fall in Easter.
This psychic does not know the sisters. There is a chance that he could have read some of the details about John's disappearance in the paper, but it would be unusual for him to have any information about the kitchen and why it was important. Also, him knowing about the significance of April and the fact that money or missing money was a possible motive. He also makes a claim that in his contact on the other side with their dad, the dad is saying, "One of my daughters thinks I went missing. One of my daughters thinks I was taken, and she's right."
I don't know if one of you believe one story or believe that. That's not the way it happened. What he's saying is, one of the daughters or one of the girls, think this has happened. You're saying that?
I'm saying, I thought.
And he's going, no.
And she thinks that someone did it to her, so.
Yeah, it is. It's someone's come in and got it. People come to me for private reads and stuff, and I have no idea what you guys come for. You sit there and I just go blah blah blah, and there's so many times I go, "We believe you," then what? Because everything you say matches of and this is the way it's like. That's why I couldn't talk about it, because your dad kept showing me an X. For me, if I see it, I say it, and that's what your dad kept showing me.
Yeah, I'll never give up though, so it's not over.
The psychic medium's final claim is that this was not suicide. John Jensen was murdered, most likely for money.
The way that they did it and everything else is, it's they covered and you're not going to find, it's, you can keep looking, you can keep, but you know what? When it's your turn to pass, Dad will be there waiting for you, and he will. And you know what? You guys were meant to be here tonight, and you were, because I can only tell you what I'm seeing, what he's passing on, and that's the confirmation validation as well. So for me, it comes through very, very strong, that it does. I've never felt like this before a show, and the way that, and it's like, this was definitely your dad.
Yeah, I thought so many
times. Yeah. But he keeps showing me the back, and somebody going like that, bang, 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 yeah.
Whether you believe in mediums or not, you can only imagine how shocking this would have been to hear for Belle and her sister. This medium is saying that her dad was taken by three men and was bashed. He says her dad knew the men, and after they attacked him with an axe, they buried him in a ditch in the bush. Belle has been very careful in our chat, and as I've mentioned before, we're not making any suggestions that anyone has done anything wrong. We're just presenting the facts as we know them. In saying this, I didn't want to beat around the bush with Belle about asking her a question that I think I already knew the answer to. What does Belle think happened to her dad?
No, I 100%, hand on my heart, believe he was murdered. And I believe the fact that, there's red flags that sort of point to why he could have been.
What do you believe a possible motive would be for someone taking your dad's life?
Money. He had no money left to take. He told me the Friday before that he was only down to $10,000, with the money next to his thing, and now I know sort of maybe he was just keeping me in the loop. I don't know, but it was weird why he felt like he needed to tell me that it was only down to 10,000. You know how I said he normally had about 80,000, and he realised it was only about down to 10, and I found out later that apparently it was only 4 when it was taken from the house. But even if we say 4,000, that still doesn't make sense why he would have gone to the ATM that many times, especially after the fall. If he did, having that $4,000 next to his bed. Dad did have a will, and it was 50-50 for both of his daughters. And that's the other thing, there were three phone calls. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, leading up to my father's disappearance from unknown numbers, and I still don't know who those people are. I still don't know why these random three people, random numbers have been called my father, just happened to be the 3 days before. I don't know. They hadn't even checked his phone until I had actually flagged it with him probably about May 2019 or something like that. I said, can you please check his phone records, you know, because things weren't adding up, and I really wanted to, yeah. So I don't know. I would love it if they did, and I could at least have an answer. Because, you know, he had certain friends, and I said to the police, you can easily analyse his, you know, telephone records, because it's either me, sister, Bill, you know, certain people that he calls, you know, so these three phone calls are out of the ordinary.
Belle, how has this affected your life?
Oh, I'll never be the same. You know, I've had people parked in front of my house. I've been followed. I've even followed someone because she was parked out in front of my house. I remember I went to go get fish and chips with my daughter. I had her in the car, and I realised, oh, this is weird. And I ended up chasing this woman because I knew she'd been out in front of my house. And then I turned around, oh, shit, I got my daughter in the car. And then I looked at her face and she was panicked. And I'm like, what am I doing? And we've had another instance where, you know, we've had a scare. The day we went to see a barrister, you know, we've had two people drive past our house and intimidate us, and we went into hiding. We pulled my kids out of school and went into hiding. We've got a house on alert because we are worried for our lives. And why would we have these worries if he committed suicide? Why would people care? That's what I don't get. But there is something not right. And yes, it's affected my life every single day.
It has affected us. As Belle said, we have had people park outside our house. But there was definitely this one day where I was in the kitchen and I heard this very loud music coming from my car, and which was straightened through our street. In a, you know, a cul-de-sac sort of area and whatever else, and older people in the street, and that, it just got my attention straight away, and I ran straight to the front of the window, and there was this old Commodore parked out the front of our house. They were staring at our house. They started tooting the horn like crazy, and a couple of big sort of hairy guys in the car, and they just stared at the house for a while, and then they just gunned it off. Took off laughing. Basically looked at each laughing. Just... It was designed to get our attention.
And it did.
We immediately went into hiding for a few days. Immediately called Joe Burr, the person in charge of our case, which he took it seriously. As Belle said, there's an alert on the house, so if anything does happen in the future, we can make a call and the police will be there straight away. I hear noises in the middle of the night, and I've got to get up to see if everything's okay, because I look after my family. I now sleep with a small axe next to my bed. I don't know what I'm going to do, just because he's a bigger man than me, but yeah, we're not making this stuff up. Someone has tried to intimidate us. They tried to get our attention, and that doesn't happen with suicide. This has affected us greatly, and it still will. And we get scared on what to say sometimes, because, you know, even doing this was a big deal, because we think some serious people have been used to get rid of Belle's dad, to get rid of Jesper for money. And it's a scary thought thinking those people are trying to scare you off. So it's, yeah, I mean, you're a dad, you're a husband. You want to protect your family in every way, and yeah, that's constantly on my mind, and it's not fair to live like that. Yeah, I'm not easily shaken, but yeah, that shook me for sure.
Belle, one of my final questions, is there any chance that your dad drove from his house for an hour and 17 minutes, parked his car at the Lancelin Beach Hotel, walked down to the water, and drowned himself?
No. Absolutely not. No way. And if anyone else would like to challenge me on that, please step forward. You know, I've been vocal, I've been honest during this whole process. I've got done my Facebook page, I've got everything. If there's anybody else that can tell me contrary to that, then please speak up. Like, please, prove me wrong.
The Facebook page is called Justice for Jesper.
Yeah.
How can people help?
Oh, already the amount of support I've had just from the general community has been overwhelming. Like, it's not something I ever expected to have to do, you know, but I've sort of reached 500 likes and I just... People can just help me by continuing to support me. You know, they've been sharing my posts, they've been, you know, just offering support, and the amount of people that have reached out, like, you know, and I've had private investigators reach out going, you know, I want to help you for free and things, because obviously they know we don't have the money, and there's some beautiful people out there that restores your faith, you know, but it's just, if you know something, say something, even if it's little, even if it's something small. Silence is not what you need when you have this type of ambiguous loss. You need people to speak up. And there are people that know what happened to my dad. So if there's people that know, please just report any information. Other than that, just, you know, the support that I keep receiving from everyone is just overwhelming. And that's all I can hope for. I'll never give up.
Joe Burr, the investigating officer in the case of John Jensen, may not necessarily agree with Belle and Darren's view on what happened to their dad, but they do share the common goal of finding an answer.
The best way for anybody to give us some information that we previously don't know is to contact Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers, they are excellent at collating information that comes into them and feeding it through to us at Missing Persons. So any intelligence that comes in is automatically then transferred to us and assigned to us as investigators to follow up on. So if anybody out there did have some information that we don't currently know, or you think that we may not currently know, I'd be more than happy to look at that. Because although this has gone to the coroners, that's by no means the end of the situation. I mean, Belle, Darren, the rest of the family, they've obviously still living this nightmare. So anything that can help us bring that to some kind of conclusion for them and help them move on from this whole situation would be very much appreciated and something that we would be eager to hear.
If you know anything about John Jensen's disappearance, you can contact Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000. There are over 38,000 long-term missing person cases in Australia, and the story you've just heard is one of them. We want to continue to help bring these emotional stories of ambiguous loss to you so we can spread the word and hopefully get some closure for the families. For as little as the price of a coffee a month, you can help support us to keep creating this content. Just head to our Patreon page. The link is in the show notes.